Jenkins.
Welcome to a Saturday night in Los Angeles, and on Saturday nights in L.A., that means that most of you are right here with us. On this little excursion into a different world, most of you don't know. And tonight, we'll talk about sparkling, spanking world of the Amazing Twister. So stay with me. Now, when we talk about crystals on Open Mind, we have to go to the master. We certainly do. The man who has been working with crystals, he's brought a number of them here with him tonight. Where's your pyramid? Oh, we have the pyramid right there. Our guest tonight is Dale Walker, who has... What, this is the third time for you, Dale? Third time. And with him is Ho, who is very active here in Los Angeles. Ho, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Heidi Ho Enterprises out in North Hollywood. Where you'll find crystals galore out there. The crystal. The amazing crystal. They are amazing and to me. First of all, you are listening to me tonight. Because a crystal is at work. Anytime you listen to the radio, I suppose, there's a crystal at work. Or watch television, there's a crystal at work. If you were at my home, you find I run my refrigerator almost off because there's a crystal at work on the inside of it. If you jumped into my spa, you would find that there's never been any chlorine in that thing in about 3 years, and it's crystal clear. Isn't that amazing? Crystals are wonderful. Of course, there's a very mystic quality about crystals, and perhaps there's a lot of mysticism built around them, but these are living creatures, these crystals.
Absolutely.
The astronauts aboard the shuttle, and we certainly... pause for just a moment about the tragedy of last Tuesday. But I think it was in the last experiment, the last shuttle flight that went up, they went up to grow crystals.
Grow crystals in a total, clear, non-gravity environment.
There you go. We were just doing some engineering.
I didn't have the mic on.
Crystals.
I've been saying all these wonderful things to people. They didn't know I was here.
No, you have to hit buttons.
The marvelous thing about growing crystals in the particular environment they had was the fact that they're out of the influence of the pressures of the Earth, and they can grow them in the most perfect type of environment, which creates a different kind of crystal. You do understand that the crystals that are grown in the Earth are Earth crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Those are space crystals. They're not the same thing at all.
Right.
They are different. They're still quartz. But the knowledge, the information, the energies are entirely different. And I would be utterly fascinated to get a hold of a couple of space crystals and play with them.
Well, crystals have so many intriguing properties, and we want to try to separate some of the mysticism from fact here tonight if we can, because quite a mystique has grown up about them. We know from a point of physics that they are amplifiers.
That's correct.
They are amazing amplifiers. Which is the reason that algae and microbes do not grow in my spa. They do incredible things to the environment around them. And if you charge them with an electromagnetic force, they then take on a whole new characteristic and do a whole new set of things. If you charge them with the force of your own being, your own life force, if you will, they again respond to that and do things for you. If you place them around plants, plants respond in a very positive way to them. They are our friends, crystals.
And in ancient times, this was known. See, there's nothing new about crystals or the use of crystals. In ancient times, there was really nowhere near the emphasis that we have on jewelry today.
Mm-hmm.
When they created stones... they created them for very specific purposes. And the fact that they were beautiful, of course, those who had the richest, the most money, got the prettiest stones. But the stones were not made for just ornament.
The important stones on the raiment of the old priest of Egypt and all of those ancient cultures were not the diamonds and the rubies and the other things that they could have had. They were the quartz crystals.
Those were the most important. As a matter of fact, what most people don't realize is when they mentioned, for instance, in the breastplate of Aaron, the high priest of the Hebrew religion, he had stones. Not only did he have a breastplate, which is solid gold and had 12 different stones on it, what they don't realize is he also had a girdle, a kind of like a cummerbund around his waist, which also had stones on it. And he had stones in the back, a reverse tie,
mm-hmm.
similar to the type of thing that you have in choirs. You know, this is a long...
Mm-hmm.
And stones were on the back there, and each of those stones were specifically spaced in a place on his body, which created special energy fields. This knowledge is very, very old, and was reserved specifically for the students of the mystery schools. It was not known to the general public because it was magic.
Well, we've done some magical things on this show, Dale, with crystals.
Yes.
With Dr. Marcel Vogel, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Marcel sitting at his home in San Jose one night, holding the crystal in his hand, was able to get thousands of people in our audience to bend spoons.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of people in the audience to clear up their nasal passages. We kind of did a little bit of healing there one night. I think everybody smelled the apple and the rose that he asked us to smell because he was transmitting that energy.
Yes.
In a way. Now, that may sound a little bit bizarre to those of you that have never listened to Open Mind.
Or experienced it.
Or experienced it. But I sat here and smelled the apples and the bananas, and I didn't bend the spoon, but Milton is sitting here. I watched the spoon bend in his hand, and well, I can't go out of body, and I guess I can bend spoons either, but everybody was.
You walked on coals. I haven't done that
well,
yet.
I did do that, yes. And they were only 2,000 degrees, you know, that's good stuff.
That's not bad.
That's good stuff. Dale.
Yes.
Why are you here? Why are we talking to you about crystals tonight? Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of yourself and why I can tell this group that this gentleman is someone to listen to when it comes to crystals?
I started working with crystals 11 years ago, and people have asked me, how did you get into crystals? And I tell them, I beat the heck out of me.
Okay.
I achieved what some people would call a spiritual awakening. But it was no great blast with trumpets and spotlights and all this. I just simply woke up a little over 11 years ago, and it was on my birthday. And I said, I'm tired of reading books. I want to go out and do it. And I had been interested in things of the mind, things of parapsychology, emotions. All these were utterly fascinated to me. And from that moment on, within 6 months, I had a crystal and was using for healing. Within a year, I was involved in a research group that sat for 2.5 years, channeling information about crystals, which we put into actual practice. We actually made it work. And within 2 years, I was traveling on the road teaching people how to use crystals. And I was the only one at that time who was actually doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Marcel, when I met him and talked to him, roughly that period of time, was doing a lot of research with channeling groups, teaching people, using crystals to teach people how to channel, become mediums.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get information. Oshina, who's a lovely lady who works with Native American techniques and is fairly popular with that, she had a tradition of crystals all her life, but had not been teaching them. She hadn't gotten the message that she was supposed to do this. And actually, I was the only one at the time who was out there waving rocks at people.
Mm-hmm.
And they really—they used to say some very unkind things. You got rocks in your head, too, fella. And but I think the worst—I think the—I think the meanest thing though was my daughter. I mean, she introduced me to her girlfriend. She's a teenager at the time.
A prophet is without honor in his own hometown. You know that.
Who is it? Says Rodney. Says I don't get no respect. She used to introduce me as my dad, the rock star. And they would keep asking me all these questions about, oh yeah, man, what's the name of your group?
Yeah.
So I kind of got out of that. But I began to remember things. I began to know something. Somebody say something, I say, oh, yeah, well, do this, this, this. And all of a sudden, a remarkable event would occur. I would look at that and say, how did I do that? How did I know to do that? And then I began to collect all of the things together because I have a mind that wants to know why.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to know the pattern of things. It wants to know why this works, why this works, why this doesn't work. And so my search has been twofold. One, to bring out as much information as I possibly can. Well, it's threefold. Two is to take that information and make it practical, make it usable. Because let me tell you, if you can't use it, what good is it? It just sits there and perks.
That's like trying to fix something that's working, isn't it?
Well, it's useless.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stuffs more stuff in your head. You've got too much in the head anyway. You need to be able to use things. My feeling. And the other one was, I wanted to know, what are the principles behind this? In my world, there is nothing that isn't natural. Nothing that doesn't follow law. We may not know what that law is. We talked about Marcel broadcasting thought forms. Now, we know exactly how to do thought forms. Thought form is a picture that you build up in your mind powered by emotions. You broadcast according to whatever you desire to do. Now, he used the radio as a means of broadcasting. It was a very good way to broadcast thought forms because it moves on electromagnetic force waves. We've done a lot of experiments with this particular type of thing. The crystal serves as an amplifier for all levels of energy, including thought. And this seems to be amazing to scientists, which I think is kind of funny. I don't know of a scientist yet that won't admit they think, but none of them will say they know what thought is.
Mm-hmm.
But they use it all the time. How can they use something all the time that they don't know anything about? And then get a little upset at me because I go ahead and do things and they say, well, you can't do that until you take it in a lab. And I say, well, where's your experiments with thoughts? Where's your experiments with emotions? Yet you use both, and you don't have any problem with that. Well, I can create phenomena, and I now know, or at least I have a very good idea, of what's behind all that and how it ties together. I have a pretty good map in my head.
Do you want to travel us down that map some here tonight?
Well, let's take a very simple thing. One of the things I've always been fascinated by is the process that some people call healing. How does the body heal itself? Now, in modern medicine, they look upon the body as a physical thing which they have to patch up. Modern doctors today are patchers. They have to be that way. They're set up in a position where people come to them and they have to have a quick fix now.
Patchers or cutters or pill givers.
Well, but you see, that's a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they have to do. They have people who come in, and they got to do something now. The people don't come to them when they first start and have a little ache or a little cough or a little, they're not feeling too good. They don't come to them then. They also don't go to a doctor and say, give me a maintenance program so I don't get sick. They come to them when they're just one foot on the grave and the other slippery. The doctor has to do a quick fix. Quickest fix is chemicals or surgery. Maybe they'll try some of the alternative methods, but not very much. Those two are really it. Well, we look upon, and I have, always looked upon healing as a different thing. I've always seen healing as energy because I understood very clearly that pain is a signal from the cells that say that there's something blocking the energy going to the cells. If the cells had the energy, there'd be no problem because they would repair themselves. They do that automatically. That's the process is built into the human energy system. But if something blocks the energy, a signal is sent out, and the major signal, the strongest signal of all, is called pain. Now, it's asking for energy. The type of energy it's asking for is bioenergy, the energy that feeds the living cells. That particular energy happens to be present in every living thing, everything, animals, plants, people, and crystals. Now, a little verification of that is I wonder how many people out in the audience have been sick and found that their animal, their cat or their dog, came up and laid beside them or snuggled up to them. And how many of them noticed they felt a little better? Animals know instinctively, and they instinctively want to help you. If you had really had some knowledge and understanding, you could have realized you could have gone over and taken your houseplant and held your houseplant and touched it up against your body, and you'd start feeling better. As a matter of fact, for all you overstressed people out there, one of our researches is that take a houseplant to work with you. Whenever you start feeling a little bit stressed, reach over and simply touch the plant for about 5 minutes. You can even hold the plant while you're talking to people, doing your work. You'll find immediately that there is a reduction in the adrenal stress in your body. What do we know about pain? We know that if we can get the energy to the pain, to the area, the pain shuts off because, after all, it's just a signal from the cells. If we feed the cells the energy, then the cells will stop asking for energy because now they start the repair process. And we found also that crystals increase the energy field of the human body, period. There's absolutely no doubt about that. We have photographed it. We have measured blood chemistry changes. We have We have measured it with a galvanometer skin response meter to measure the meridian points on the body for the conductivity of that point on the body. And invariably, every single time, we have a vast increase. We use dowsing devices, and we can show exactly the extent and the range of that movement. So we now know that we can do it. I can show and demonstrate every single time how this works. Because the crystal amplifies energy, if you place that amplified energy by either placing the crystal on the pain area or you're holding the crystal in one hand, placing the other hand on the area, within a period of time that we've determined to be somewhere between 15 to 30 minutes, you have a 97% probability you'll reduce or eliminate the pain. And that's you doing it. That's not us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not practicing medicine, by the way. I want you to know that. I don't practice medicine. I'm not a doctor. This is giving the body the energy it needs to do its own healing process.
Now, if you were practicing medicine, what you would do is try to shut off the signals from the cells so that you didn't experience the pain, but do nothing for the cells who are sending the signals in the first place. Well, just cut off its communication.
It's even worse, because what's the purpose of the communication? Why is the cell crying out? The cry is pain. If you take the normal method of stopping the pain is a painkiller. Take a pill. The painkiller masses, or you said, disrupts the signal from the cell to the brain. So you don't hurt because you're not getting a signal called pain.
But you're not getting healed either.
Well, it's even worse. There is a call for help. There is no response because you don't know anything's happening. Your mind, brain, computer doesn't know there's anything wrong because it doesn't get the signal. If it can't get the signal, it won't respond. If it doesn't respond, guess what happens to your poor cells? They get worse. And this is why you take painkillers, you have what is known as a debilitating disease, which means it keeps getting worse and worse. Arthritis is a prime one for that one. Now, you know that it progressively gets worse. Why should it progressively get worse? Why doesn't modern medicine really take on to that? There are millions and millions of dollars that are spent for research into arthritis right now. Millions looking for the perfect drug. Well, maybe it isn't a drug. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's learning to cleanse the body. Maybe it's learning to tell the computer of the mind that there's a problem in a certain area of the body and telling the computer of the mind to repair that problem. After all, it created the problem. We have a computer mind which creates the physical body. And when it gets certain data, whatever that data is, it creates the physical. It creates pain. It creates disability.
We are what we think.
Oh, absolutely. More than that. And more specifically, not only what we think, but what we feel.
Mm-hmm.
We are much more what we feel than what we think. Feelings are the power. That's the key to the universe. And all the metaphysicians know that. Now, what's interesting about it is crystals help us to focus emotion. I teach classes on how to control your emotions. I mean really control that energy so that other people cannot affect you emotionally. They can't knock you off balance. You're always in balance. You're always stable. Not only that, but you can take that energy, you can shape it, you can create a thought form, you can fire it out into the universe and create anything you want. It's called manifestation. And believe me, people, it's real.
It does work.
Oh, boy, does it ever.
Well, maybe we have kind of provoked the interest of a few people along the way that may be with us here tonight. We want to take a little break. And let me give you the numbers. An opportunity for you to talk to Dale Walker, who really is one of the nation's top researchers into the crystal. You can talk to him. Ho is here, who is certainly a practitioner and I'm very knowledgeable about it, who is always here in the Los Angeles area. He's located out in San Fernando Valley. Talk to Ho, too. About the crystal, if you will. In Los Angeles, the number of crystals and Ho. Dale is just feeding me some charged crystal water. Oh, now we're talking good water here.
We've had some...
This is quite a great deal like the desal water that we use exclusively at home.
You know, the thing about it is, it's all the same. Except crystals seem to do something else, but I've experimented with pyramids, I've experimented with desals, I've experimented with Pat Flanagan's special little crystal salts.
Yes, water is delightful.
Crystal water. And I've Willard water, I tried that, and I've tried practically everything I can. But I found that the crystal water is consistently the easiest to work with, the cheapest, by all means. You can buy this, some of this water. You buy a little pint of it, and it costs you a mint.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of crystals will charge you water forever.
Well, that's true. You just put the crystals in and let them run.
That's right. And
same
you
way
keep,
with the D-cell.
That's the beauty of it. Except the D-cells eventually do. Within about a year, you usually have to replace them because they're a living entity. They're created in a very special manner. So actually, it's an alchemic process that creates those things.
Yes, it is.
Very strange. We talking strange how they made those things. You know, where'd that business come from? This whole field of energy is getting into some realms that are driving physicists crazy.
Yeah, they don't understand how you can take a crystal or a D-cell and put slime water from a swamp in it, and a few hours later it's crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't understand that. Or you can put one of those little cells down into a glass container of seawater, and, in 18 hours you've got crystal clear water.
That's right.
Charged and perfect.
That's right. Well, we've done exactly the same thing with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And are finding rather phenomenal effects. Now, one of the major problems that we find, you know, I can see holes, you say, my God, we're going to talk about water again. Water is a major concern in this area.
It should be. Yeah, we can't live without it very much.
Yes, and I think that anybody who is drinking water out of the tap has a death wish. It's got to be the most polluted thing I've seen in a long time, if not by...
With all deference to our friends at the Department of Water.
Listen, they do the best they can. And I'm not knocking anybody who is furnishing water to this city.
Yeah, for furnishing water to a city this size, with the requirements of water that it has...
They do a hell of a job, pardon my French.
And we live in a desert.
Yes.
They do one dandy job.
Yes, and...
But no cigar.
And... I won't give them a total cigar because the only thing they know how to do is to put chlorine in the water, perhaps a little algistat, but chlorine is a biggie. Now, they don't really know what chlorine does to the human system, but we drink gallons of the stuff all the time. I don't like chemicals in the water. I don't like it. What we found with a crystal in a glass of water, within 10 to 15 minutes, the chlorine taste is gone, and the smell of chlorine is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, just like that. Well, overnight... It creates a tremendous change in the taste of your water.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, we have measured the energy changes that take place in the body when you drink it. Also, we've done a lot of experiments with animals. Now, I really like working with animals because they're not as suggestible as human beings are.
Mm-hmm.
Something either works for an animal or it doesn't. What we found is that when we use crystal charged water for an animal for a couple of weeks, and then we give them a saucer of water... of one crystal charged, the other not crystal charged, they'll sniff the one and they drink the crystal charged water every single time. Every time we've tried this, the animal instinctively goes to the crystal charged water. And the same thing is true with food, and we charge all the food that our animals eat.
Well, I charge everything in the refrigerator with crystals.
Yeah, you rascal. You enjoy that, didn't you?
Oh, listen, I keep that thing almost turned off. And I love it. It's one of those...
Well, you know, this is a funny thing. I've done this a dozen times. And I think I mentioned the last time I was here that when I did this in a radio show in Berkeley, California, the individual there, was a very erudite and a very intelligent individual. He loved the show, but he said, Dale, I just got to pick a bone with you. I'm not buying that crystal in the refrigerator bit. That's just a joke, isn't it? I said, well, no, it's not. It was my experience. And he teased me about it a little bit. I get a little bit, I said, all right. I went out to my car. I picked out a nice little amethyst cluster, and without him seeing me, I went to his refrigerator. And he has a nice big garden in the back. He's quite a vegetarian. And I kind of snuck it underneath some of his vegetables. Didn't say a word to him. 2 days later, 2:00 in the morning, I got a call. And I said, you know, I'm just barely awake, just barely alive even at that time. I answered the phone and said, yeah, what is it? And his voice says, this is Will. I said, Will who? He said, well, Will Nofsky. What I want to know is, what are you going to do about all my vegetables? They're frozen. And I fell out of bed. I was laughing so hard, I fell out of bed. I got back, finally got back on the phone, tears running down my face. And I said, but Will, you don't believe in that, remember? And he had to admit. And he still has that cluster in his refrigerator. It works. Now, why? I don't know. But let me tell you another little story.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when you were here last, you told me about putting in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Indeed, you gave me a little crystal. You always have a pocket full. You and Gail. Dusty crystals with you.
Isn't she
a
sweetie?
Yeah, she's lovely. So I dutifully took the crystal home. Stuck it in the refrigerator. That was like early Sunday morning before I got home. Because, as I recall, we went out and talked all night long, which quite often happens after the show. The best show is over at Denny's.
Absolutely.
And stuck it in there about 2 or 2.30 in the morning, and then forgot about it until I went in Sunday afternoon to get one of my beloved bottles of beer.
Yes.
And guess
what? Was that a cold bottle of beer?
No, no. It had already busted the top out of it, and it was frozen. And the veggies were ruined, and I was going to send you a bill. But we overcame that. We just almost turned it off, and that's the way it's been ever since.
Now let me add a couple little anecdotes to go with it. My daughter used to live with me before she had married, and she came back, and she... first thing she does when she comes home, she kind of does a little cleanup because she knows Daddy's a bachelor, and you know how bachelors are anyway. She thinks it's one up from...
I haven't been one since I was 20, so I don't...
Well, the girls know. But anyway, she goes in there and she cleans out my refrigerator. She always does this because she resents the fact that some things inside it start moving around when she looks at them. But when she did so, she was back before I put crystals in the refrigerator. She automatically adjusted the refrigerator back to the old setting it used to be, and I had a quarter of an inch of ice on my corn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anecdote number two. I went to and did a show with an old friend of yours, Hillary St. Charles.
Oh, yeah.
He was down in Aptos, a little radio station, and he told me a story about one of my students who gave him a little cluster and said, put it in your refrigerator. Now, the only problem was he lives in a trailer and he has a propane refrigerator. And it's not a plug-in electric, you see. And he was told, my friend told him to note temperature changes inside. He said no change in the temperature, but he used 30% less propane.
Hmm.
Now you figure that one out.
Well, there was a radical change in the temperature of my refrigerator.
Yeah, I would say so. When your beer has a little ice cube sticking out the top.
It would have popped off the top, and it was kind of sticking out. Well, let's go to our callers and see what's on their mind. Myrna, welcome aboard.
Hello, how are you?
All right.
I have a question for Dale.
Yes, Myrna.
I received two tiny crystals from someone who had spent time in a great pyramid in Egypt with these crystals.
Yes, I know the lady.
Okay.
We're talking about Gail, right?
No, she's talking about Lavendar.
Oh.
No,
it's a different lady.
Neither one of us know the lady. Okay, go
maybe
ahead.
I do, but never mind.
She sent this tiny crystal to me and said that it was from the Great Pyramid. Now, mm-hmm. If there's any positive energy there because of the pyramid, I know going to one of your weekend seminars, you said that you are to take crystals given as gifts and put them in sea salt. Which I don't know whether I should do, because what effect will that have on any positive energy from the pyramid?
Well, when I mentioned this before, when I first did it, and when I put it, listed it in my book, my intention was those who have had no training, who don't understand anything about crystals, I want to be absolutely sure that nothing happens to them because of any negative emotion someone who touched it might leave in the crystal. And therefore, I suggest you put it in salt, because that drains the energy out below the point where it can actually affect you adversely. However, if you want to keep the energy into it, I suggest that you simply touch the stone and do the light invocation three times. Mm-hmm. That completely clears any negative emotional thought form left inside the crystal, no matter who left it in there.
Oh, okay.
Now, let me give you that over the air real quick. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's out there, by the way, for you people who are out there, I suggest you, at the next break, you get a pad and you get a pencil, because we've got a lot of information for you, places we're going to be and all this good stuff. So you need to be able to take this information down. The light invocation goes as such. I invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide. Simple?
Yes, I remember it.
Okay. Do it three times.
While touching the crystal.
We have done experiments with this. In fact, we'll talk about this on the radio just a little bit after you sign off. And we'll talk about some of the experiments we've done, showing that we actually do eliminate negative emotions by this thought, this particular invocation.
Now, that invocation really is just a matter of focusing your own energy. You're not doing anything mystic here, but you're channeling your own self, I think.
I don't know, Bill. Now, I have to be honest. Yeah, I'm the least mystic of all people. I do my darndest to demystify everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or demysticize everything. But I don't know about that invocation. That's something special. There is something happening because, now we use, for instance, the word the Christ. I've done this with people of every religion, especially Jewish people, Muslims, Indian, Hindus, and it makes absolutely no difference what their religion is. There is a tremendous energy change that takes place in the body. We even use this invocation far greater than my energy field, because everybody who does this finds that they're, with a triple light invocation, their energy field jumps from a foot to anywhere 15 to 20 feet. Measurable. And photographable with curling camera photography. Measurable with an acupuncture meridian device. So there's something very powerful about it, which I'm doing a lot of research on now. And I don't know. Maybe there is something involved in it.
It's triggering something
yes,
for some reason.
There's a natural law involved. I know. I just don't know what it is. I don't believe in mysticism. Mysticism is what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's just you don't know the laws involved. I know the laws involved with this one. I've got a couple ideas, and I'm exploring that at flank speed.
All right.
Anything else, dear?
Does that help you, Myrna?
Very much. Thank you very much, Dale and Bill.
All right. Thank you, Myrna, for being with us.
You're welcome.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. Request coming in for you to repeat that that invocation, if you would.
I'd be happy to. If each of you right now, if you haven't got a pencil on a piece of paper, I'm going to do this slowly and so that you can catch it and write it down. So, if you will, the light invocation goes as such. I invoke the light of the Christ within.
I invoke the light of the Christ within.
I am a clear and perfect channel.
I am a clear and perfect channel.
Light is my guide.
Light is my guide.
That's simple, isn't it? I invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide.
That's so simple I can have it memorized within a month.
Well, you're exceptional. That's the only reason.
I haven't even learned my wife's new telephone number where she works since she's only been there. You know, they changed it about 6 months ago.
If the people will practice, and let me tell you a couple little stories about things that happened with this light invocation, because I am, this is in line with the fact that I get information which isn't necessarily on crystals. It has to do with the spiritual laws of the universe, how things work.
Mm-hmm.
What is the mind? What does it do? What are emotions? What do they do? What is spiritual? What does that mean? How does the universe work? How do you fit within it? All these things have been given to me over these 11 years. It's a whole mastery process that's been going on. But this light invocation, I had one client, and I do therapy sessions for people, spiritual counseling, a particular type of psychotherapy which removes any negative traumatic experience in the mind of an individual, no matter what it was that happened in their life, can be removed in as little as 1 hour. Permanent.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that took to me. But this particular one, I had this lady who was neurotic, moving into psychotic, definitely heading for paranoia. She was at the point where it was difficult for her to go down to the store and buy groceries. She's just into this nameless fear. I had her doing nothing more than repeating the light invocation over and over again all day long. At the same time, she had an endless loop tape. What is it, telephone answering tapes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Endless loop, which played over and over again, the same thing, the light invocation. She had it turned on out loud, and it was on all night long, all day long, and she repeated it to herself all day long. Within 6 days, she was out of her house, shopping and talking to her friends. Within 2 weeks, she was back to work again. Now, that's how phenomenal it worked. And this lady was really in a bad, bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
She had been to therapy. She had been through all kinds of treatments. It was not working for her. Now, many times, therapy does work for other people, but this wasn't working for her. Yet, the light invocation, without anybody else doing anything, she was able to bring herself out of she was truly moving into psychosis.
Mm-hmm. So it did work for her.
Absolutely. I don't know how well it would work for someone else, but boy, I am really...
We know it worked for her then, you're saying.
It did work for her. I got one winner.
You got one winner there. Let's see what Meredith has on her line. Hi, Meredith.
Hi there. How are you?
Super.
Hello, Meredith.
Good. Hi. I have actually two questions. regarding crystals. The first one is, are there different kinds of crystals? And if there are there different kinds that are good for, you know, different things? I mean, there's one better than another for certain things which you wish to take care of. And the other question is, where can one obtain crystals?
Boy, can I answer number two.
Number two is here.
Number two is here. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a whole thing set up tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday at the Live and Learn Center in Sherman Oaks, and Ho will give you that in a little bit. But let me answer your first question.
Uh-huh.
So we are really here this time with the largest selection of crystals that any crystal tour has ever had, a phenomenal selection so the people can get what they want. Last time, they were very unhappy with us because we had no idea of the incredible audience that your show has. We had no idea of the kind of response we get.
This we have time, to thank crystals for that. But.
This time, we're prepared, by Jove. And at any rate, the answer to the first question is, almost every element will form a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Or combinations of elements will form crystals because the crystal form is the movement of an element into growth, into something different, into an energy form, which is called a crystal. This is like a plant. The element is a seed. When it receives oxygen from water, it begins to grow. And that's the same thing's true with crystals. And in fact, the energizing effect truly occurs when it grows in its crystal form. Quartz crystal that is not a crystal is called silicon or sand. Silicon or sand, to the degree it has quartz in it, is energizing. By itself, pure silicon has an energy, but is nothing like the crystal form. And any other element can do the same thing. All jewelry gems are crystals, and all of them have some benefit. The other part of your question is, well, what about different ones, and do they do special things? Yes, they do. It's the color that's the key. The color causes a vibrational effect upon the energy field, mainly the emotional energy field of the body, since color is emotion that you see. And the proper color can cause a vibrational balance, or an improper color can cause an imbalance. But more than that, we know that we take a clear quartz crystal, it has the effect of working on all color bands because the clear prism has all the colors in it.
Mm-hmm.
Clear light, when it goes through a prism, gets all the colors.
Mm-hmm.
The clear quartz is the master stone, which is able to do what any other colored stone does. The colored stones are specialists. And just a real quick thing, we have four different stones which we like to use as general stones for the four different bodies. The physical body, we like to work with a green stone because it works directly with the endocrine gland system. Now, the green stones can be almost anything that's a green stone. We particularly like green quartz, and we like emeralds, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
We like green tourmalines, but any green stone works well. Malachite's very good. We also use a pink stone for the emotional body. The pink stone, the rose quartz is the best, but there are some nice pink tourmalines that work well, so even a couple of pink zircons I like. Yet, that causes a modulating or harmonizing for our emotions, calms down. Anybody who holds a pink stone in their hand over a period of time will notice that they feel more calm. A blue stone causes a greater clarity of the mind, which also increases psychic ability. And so the lapis stone or the blue tourmaline, blue topaz, all of these stones are very powerful for increasing your ability to think clearly. The purple stone, the only purple stone that's really, to my feeling, that is there is no other stone like it, is the amethyst. It's been known for all ages as the spiritual stone. It's the stone that a priest receives when he becomes a bishop, and it causes a greater expansion of your awareness of how you fit within the universe. And is also very healing.
Is that what
all
this
stones
is?
Work. Yes, that he's holding a beautiful pyramid, cut pyramid, that's made out of purple amethyst. That's correct. And it's very, very beautiful and very powerful.
And there's an amazing power field that's coming right off the tip of
you
the...
You can feel it, can't
you? Can feel it, yeah. You really can.
Did that help you at all?
Very much.
All right, Meredith.
Very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
I'm Bill Jenkins with Dale Walker and Ho. We're talking about crystals.
Yes, I enjoyed your remarks at the opening of the show very much. I have a lot of questions here. I'm totally ignorant on the subject of crystals. I was wondering if I always thought that was something that you found in the desert and brought home and polished, and then it was nice and clear and so forth. I was wondering if the homegrown kind are as good in all the various properties, beneficial properties that they have, as the natural ones that you find out wherever it is you find them, one thing. And I was wondering, too, he mentioned something about growing crystals in space. And it struck me that in space you have the absence of gravity and the absence of pressure. He mentioned pressure particularly. I was wondering whether you could grow them in a vacuum and somewhat simulate here on Earth the effect of space-grown crystal, and if he had ever done that. Third question is, this may seem a little silly, but is any on record of ever having cured a toothache with these things?
Yes, that's a very good question.
We're working on that right now with Milton over there.
let's take them one at a time.
Okay.
Your first question was, say that again.
Well, the kind of naturalized versus
okay.
The homegrown, yeah.
Well, I think what you're saying is, if you found a crystal out in your backyard, would it be as powerful as a crystal you found out in the desert? Am I correct?
No, would the one you found that nature had made in the desert or wherever?
Nature makes all of them.
Well, I mean, what about these ones you grow yourself?
Okay, now, you won't grow a crystal yourself. Laboratories will go because the type of equipment necessary to grow a crystal you normally would not have in your kitchen.
Well, the point is, are the ones that are man-made as good as the ones that nature made? That's the question, I think.
Now, let me answer that by telling you that man-made crystals, which are used in computers, will hold their memory for approximately 6 to 7 years. After that, they begin to lose their ability to hold memory. A natural crystal will hold memory forever.
Well, then it would be better, huh?
That's correct. I feel it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the next one.
About the space. Yes. And have you ever tried growing one in a vacuum?
I have not.
Or has it ever been tried?
I don't know. I'm sure that things
well,
have been tried.
Do you think it would be worth trying?
Well, you know, the vacuum, even though you put it in a vacuum, George, that wouldn't negate the effects of gravity.
No, it wouldn't. But it would negate the effects of pressure, which is part of it.
Well, vacuum doesn't necessarily stop pressure. You still have atmospheric... Well, you don't have
atmospheric pressure. You don't have atmospheric pressure. That's what you're getting rid of.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what happens is when you negate pressure, the crystal will form in a perfect geometric shape of six sides.
Mm-hmm.
Because built into the growth pattern of the crystal is a blueprint which makes it do that. Just like the blueprint of your cell makes you grow a finger, and it'll do it every time. Well, in the case of a crystal, when there is no pressure to cause it to be slightly misshapen out of its perfection, it will be a perfect crystal.
So to that extent, it would be
okay, now, we'll answer the question, the other one, really quick, because we're coming up against 10 o'clock, so let's answer the third question is what?
And there's our music.
Toothache.
Okay. Put a crystal up against your toothache and hold it there for at least a half an hour and see if a change takes place.
Tell us later where to get them.
We're going to go through that in the next hour, George. I thank you for getting
thank
there
you for calling.
Questions.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break for news here at 10 from ABC, and then we'll be back with two more hours of this Saturday night edition of... Lewis Ho, who is of Heidi Ho Enterprises here in Los Angeles, along with Dale Walker, who is our guest tonight. And Ho has an experiment that he wanted you to try, so let's get into that, Ho.
Well, you know, we've met so many of your listeners over the last couple of years, and I know that you have a group of people who love to experiment.
Well, we all do. You've got to get in there and do it, you know. I haven't been able to go out about it, but I have walked on a boat.
We're working on that, Bill. We have a group that works on you at night.
Oh.
One day.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, because so many of the people at home probably have crystals, we thought that they might want to try the water experiment. And
yep.
It's a very simple thing to do. All you have to do is get two glasses of water, and you could either use a bottled water or water out of the tap, and put them approximately 6 feet apart. Take your crystal and drop it into one glass. And then if they give it about 3-5 minutes and go back and taste back and forth between the two and smell back and forth between the two, they should discover that there is quite a difference. Now, I don't want to tell people what to expect too much, but most people find it doesn't smell the same, it has a sweeter taste, and it's something that almost everybody notices. So it's something they can try at home while we're on the air. And
all right, that's the idea. Let's do it again. If you've got a crystal, a quartz crystal, Get two glasses of water. Dale, go ahead and do that again. Wait a minute. You're not yeah. coming through over there. There you go. Hit that.
Hey, I'm on.
Hello there.
We are live. Okay. And with the water, we really have a lot of fun with that. But one of the things you can do is you can try a very simple experiment, too, with cut flowers. Get roses, or any cut flower for that matter. It makes no difference what it is, but we like roses.
You have them around.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And get two of equal size. And if you have a rose bush, you can take them off the same rose bush. It's ideal, because we try to keep the factors the same. Put one in a glass where you've charged the water for at least overnight. Put the other in a glass or a vase that the water has not had anything else done. It should be the same water. Put into two separate containers. One gets charged and the other doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you put the cut flowers into it and see which one wilts and dies first. That's an easy one to do and a lot of fun to watch.
Now, it's very important that you use natural quartz, because some people have the Austrian crystal, the lead crystal, it's called Vienna crystal, and that's not really...
Lead crystal doesn't count.
No, that's glass.
Yeah, that's just silicone glass that's been with a lot of lead in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you have your experiment. Yeah, one for tomorrow and one for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Two glasses of water, 6 feet apart. If you have your quartz crystal, drop them in one. And we'll cue you here in about, let's say 10 minutes. Let's give them time to do it. About 20 minutes after, we'll cue you to taste and smell the water and see if you find anything different. And then I'd like for you to report in if you did, okay? Let's go to Francis. Hello, Francis.
Hi. I want to know, is there some way, a special way to choose a crystal, or will any crystal do?
I love that question. Because when my people in classes or in lectures, when they ask me, how do you choose a crystal? And I say, you don't. It chooses you.
Chooses you, huh?
So the corollary to that is, the way to choose a crystal... If I give you no logical way to choose it, you'll choose it by the only other option you have, and that's intuition. And it's done through the senses. Choose a crystal you like. Choose one, you may like it because it's clear, or maybe it's cloudy, or maybe it's colored, or maybe it's small, or skinny, or fat, or large. Make no difference.
How about cheap or expensive?
I have found some of the cheapest crystals, the most beautiful for me, most powerful, most loving, and yet I've paid a lot of money for some others. There's no rule for that. Expensive does not make it better.
Okay. Now, how big should it be when you to put it in the refrigerator and it makes your refrigerator colder and your water clearer? Is that right?
Well, we usually use two different types of crystals for that. The one we use for the water is usually about an inch, say, or an inch and a half long. And the ones that we use for the refrigerator are clusters. Now, any kind of a cluster, either clear or amethyst or even smoky, will work. But the one we found to be the most effective, and I don't really know why, is the amethyst cluster. An amethyst cluster of about, say, 3 inches in diameter in the upper shelf of your refrigerator. If it's an older refrigerator, will usually cause it to be more effective, and you turn it down to usually pretty close to the lowest increment. Newer refrigerators, it's not quite as much a dramatic change because they're pretty efficient anyway.
Well, mm-hmm. How old do you mean?
Well, anything over a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
Well, I have one of the side-by-side refrigerators.
Uh-huh.
And the crystal I have in there is just a regular crystal about the size of your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a cluster?
That's not a cluster.
Uh-huh.
And I have to keep that thing turned almost off. And the crystal I have in the spa,
uh-huh,
which is about 350 gallons, I guess, out there.
Right.
Is also about the size of your thumb.
Does that make the spa warm?
No, that makes the spa clear.
Oh.
No chlorine.
That's right. And no algae.
I wanted to ask you one other question about the invocation.
Sure.
And you said that saying that over and over was very beneficial. And it sounds to me as though it's just the same thing as mantra repetition.
You know, I really think it is. I think it's a particular
type of mantra. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, it has a rhythm. Mantras have a specific purpose. A mantra has a very specific rhythm which drops the mind into an altered state, which I consider to be in the alpha-theta range, which is a level which you begin to, all your systems begin to go into calm, begin to go into relaxed, stable, balanced position. And that's what causes this effect of your energy amplified. When your mind and body are centered and in balance, your energy flows much more powerful. And all athletes know this because they talk about concentrating, getting centered, getting grounded, getting focused and eliminating stress, forgetting about their fear, focusing. If they do that, their energy comes up.
What?
When you work with this particular invocation, however, there is something else involved. It isn't just any mantra. And I have tested hundreds of mantras. I have found nothing that does what this does.
Have you tried saying this with saying the God within instead of the Christ within, and would that make any difference?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. I went and got a book on all the gods and goddesses that I could find and all the religious names and figures. And we did a long experiment to see what happens. What's interesting is some of those actually weaken the body. Some of them increase the energy field of the body. Nothing operated the same way as this particular phrase. And that includes using the God within, the goddess of use, includes using God itself or using Yahweh, Jehovah, no matter what it was, Buddha, made no difference. The word the Christ is not a religious figure. It is a statement of power which locks into a particular field of power which is very, very loving, very balancing, very healing.
What does the Christ exactly mean?
That's up to you to tell me. I don't know.
Oh.
I have some ideas. I think it's a level of consciousness that we can all achieve.
I think it goes far beyond Christianity.
I don't think anybody... No, it's not Christianity. Jesus was a Christ, the Christ, or at that time. And
Christ maybe is like an enlightened being.
Yes, well, by enlightened, it means somebody whose mind is able to absorb more of the total intelligence of God and what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You're triggering your spiritual intelligence when you use that word somehow.
Absolutely. I don't know. To me, this is one of the most exciting areas of research I'm working in right now. And I find the crystal helps to lock this in. I lock that invocation into my crystal. And I touch my crystals every day and put this triple light invocation into them. And it makes a real dramatic change in the way I operate in life. It's very powerful. And I heartily recommend that everybody give it a chance.
Well, how does it affect your life? And do you carry the crystal or wear it or what?
I wear a crystal. I carry a crystal.
He's burdened
down. I have suitcases full of crystals. The back of my car is filled with crystals. My house has found... Are you kidding?
We call him Johnny Crystal Seed.
I am a rock
nut. Do you have more energy during the day?
Absolutely.
Or what do you mean?
It increases my total energy. It keeps me calm and balanced in the midst of the chaos of life. Nobody's negative emotions can knock me off my center when I've done the light invocation and I have my crystals on. I can stand in the middle of the worst negative anger, hatred, and I stay centered.
It lowers the stress levels.
It absolutely lowers my stress, any stress level. As a matter of fact, when I'm in a room with my crystals and I've done my light invocation, I lower the stress level of the whole room. I can stand. I've done this. I can experiment. I just stood still and just went inside myself and centered, did the light invocation, and nothing more than that. And what happened was all the negative junk that was going on around me began to slowly recede until it stopped. In fact, I did it in a bar one time and stopped the whole bar. I mean, the whole bar went silent. And they all just stood and looked at me. And I was just sitting there irradiating this light coming out of me. And they all just shut up. It was phenomenal. I left because I didn't want to ruin their party.
You hate to go to a party and ruin it, do you?
Well,
I
you.
Never do that.
Thank you very much. I presume you're going to tell us where you're going to be tomorrow.
We sure will, dear. Thank you for
asking. In fact, Francis, I'm glad you asked that question. And, Ho, if you would, why don't you fill us on where we can see Dale and see the crystals and all of that stuff.
Well, as Dale said before, we have brought together what has got to be one of the largest collections of crystals I have personally ever seen anywhere.
Well, that's got to be a lot.
It is. It's incredible. There's no way to describe how much crystal we have.
lots of rocks.
And so in anticipation, we have a room at the Live and Learn Center, which is in Sherman Oaks. That's 13735 Ventura Boulevard. And the Live and Learn Center, we'll be there on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And we will be there from 11 in the morning till 10 at night with crystals and people there to answer all the questions and to talk about what they do. And in addition, Dale will be doing two free lectures each day, one at 2 o'clock and one at 7:30.
Now, that's tomorrow, Monday,
Monday and Tuesday. At the Live and Learn Center.
Yeah, I'm already out there playing, waving rocks at people. what was that address again, Paul?
That's 13735 Ventura Boulevard, from 11 in the morning till 10 at night.
What's the cross street there?
I think it's Ventura and Woodman.
Woodman?
I think so.
Okay, you're east of the San Diego Freeway.
Yeah, well, Sherman Oaks is not really that big anyway, so it's getting very difficult if you get on Ventura and Sherman Oaks to find it.
Should be easy to find, and if you miss that address, we'll, of course, have it for you a little bit later as we go along. With me is Dale Walker, and ho, I'm Bill Jenkins. We're talking crystal, and with us is Dale Walker, the Johnny Crystal Seed of America, and ho of Heidi Ho Enterprises out in North Hollywood. When we're talking crystals, you're talking to two of the people who know more about it than anybody else, and that gives Charlotte a chance to find out some about crystals. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. It's really a privilege to be able to speak with you. I brought a couple of crystals back. Actually, I'm not sure they're even crystals. They're fluorites. Are you familiar with those?
A fluorite is a crystal, yes.
Oh, okay.
It's not a member of the quartz family.
All right. That was my question. If they were able to be used as well as the others, I've got them in a bright yellow and a green. No, it's a blue and a smoky purple color. And they're shaped in a pyramid kind of shape, double pyramid?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's called an octahedron.
Right. Okay. And do you use those at all or not?
I personally don't, but however, other people do. And I find that as my experiments with them, I find them to be beneficial, but the energy level of the fluoride is less than the quartz.
Okay.
And I'm a person who really likes to deal with a lot of energy.
Uh-huh.
Because I like to make very quick, dramatic changes in working with energy. So I usually go for the strongest stone rather than one that's of lesser.
Okay.
But a lot of people work with a softer energy.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of women like to use the fluorides because they deal with a much softer type of energy, which is just as effective. You know, I just happen to be a high energy freak. but they found it to be very beneficial. And of course, the pyramid shape of the octahedron, which is a double ended pyramid, is very beneficial. And it definitely has an energy. The color is the key, once again, to what kind of effect you will achieve. I just happen to think that quartz is much wider range in its effectiveness because it operates at every level of human energy consciousness,
mm-hmm.
whereas it's the only stone that does that.
Okay.
There's nothing else that operates the full range that quartz does, and all the ancients knew that.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Also, I have some very tiny little perfectly formed crystals. They must not be a diameter of more than maybe a quarter of an inch even, but they're very tiny little clusters. Is there any use for that type of a size?
Well, many times the small stones, we use those for healing. But when we do use the small ones, sometimes those are placed directly on a pain area. It's a cluster. Otherwise, a small crystal is almost invariably used for a piece of jewelry to hang around the neck or from the earlobes. If it's hung from the neck in such a way that it resides somewhere between the hollow of the throat and the center of the breastbone, which we call the heart chakra, it will stimulate the thymus gland, which increases the immune system's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the immune system is what handles your whole body. If it's worn as earrings over the earlobes, both left and right, we do not recommend you wear one earring. You wear both left and right and use the light invocation as a balancing technique. It has a tendency to help to balance the right and left hemisphere of the mind, giving you a much more clear and balanced thinking and logic and intuitive process in balance rather than being one or the other.
Okay. I have your book, and I also have another
book. God bless
you. And I enjoy it very much.
I know there's something about you.
I have another book, too, that I started to read, and they talk about power rods or energy rods.
I know what the book is.
Yeah, uh-huh. And as, you must have experimented with that. What's your opinion on those?
I have to be honest. I personally find that book to be a little bit upsetting because of the approach that it takes of combat.
Mm-hmm.
There is an old tradition among many of the mystery people of combat. When they talk about combat, they're not talking about swords.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about mental combat.
Right.
And this dwells quite a bit on destroying people with the wands.
Mm-hmm.
And doing... my feeling about it, and I'm It's not to say that the individual wrote it is this way, but the approach and the attitude of the book was, to me, is a different approach than I take. I'm much more in teaching you how to do loving, balancing things than to wipe out your psyche from 1,000 miles away.
Oh, definitely.
Now, along with that, I will have to say that I found the information to be very accurate in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, that's a little more frightening than if he didn't know what he's talking about. Because he passed on some information which people may end up taking and using in a very, could be, destructive way. So I have to say that it's very well done. It's most accurate. I'd say he's got about 85% to 90% accuracy, and I find it a little frightening.
Well, if you use that for beneficial or benevolent ends, I suppose then that would be okay. Then you could use it. It doesn't have to be used in a negative way. And
no.
I have to say, I haven't read the whole thing, and so that comes as a little bit of a surprise to me. I didn't realize that that type of intent was even in there.
Well, maybe I read more into it than I think, but this has been with that kind of an approach.
Yeah.
I would have approached it in a much different way to teach people how to use the wands to extend their energy out, to help people,
to
change in the environment around. Instead, the approach is, look out, people, we're armed with a 357 Magnum crystal.
Uh-huh.
and if you're not careful, we'll blow the top of your brains out. I'm exaggerating a little, but I only wanted to tell you, this was my personal experience with it, and at the same time, I want to compliment the writer on doing a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's not an approach I would have used.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, does that help you, Charlotte?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you
very much
for calling. By the way, you can go ahead and taste your water now.
And
see if you notice a difference, and if you do, check in with us.
Okay.
Let me give you the check-in numbers, 520-TALK, all those, at Alexandria 2 Bookstore in Pasadena. Alexandria 2 was the largest selection of metaphysical videos in Southern California, and over 4,000 book titles on subjects from astral projection to UFOs. And now, meet Bob Treach, expert in the field of UFOs, presenting a lecture and slideshow at Alexandria 2 on Sunday, February 9th at 2 p.m. Then mark your calendar to meet Dale Walker, author of The Crystal Book, at Alexandria 2 on Tuesday, February 25th, to elaborate even more on crystals as he's doing here tonight. Autograph signing an hour before the lecture, which begins at 7:30 p.m. That's Alexandria 2 Bookstore, 3686 East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena, at the corner of Rosemead and Colorado. Call for lecture reservations and information at area code 818-792-7885. That's 818-792-7885. KBC time now is 32 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. Our good friends at Alexandria, too, there. Dale, you're going to be over there, I understand.
Yes, yes. In fact, we're going to be there.
Okay, hit your button.
I'm back. I keep forgetting. I'm not one of these radio people. I keep forgetting to push this little button.
Yeah, push your button.
But I will be at the Alexandria
2
bookstore.
Right.
And it will be February 25th.
25th at 6:30. Mm-hmm. You'll be autographing, and at 7:30 there's a lecture on crystals. That's going to be the 25th of February.
Right.
6:30.
In fact, you have a number you can call to find Dale's schedule, because he's going to be in town most of February.
If I can just do this very quickly, I mentioned the Live and Learn on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And on February 7th, 8th, and 9th, Dale's going to be at the Whole Life Expo. There's going to be a crystal panel on Friday, and on Saturday he's got a crystal intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then February 15th and 16th, he'll be doing his crystal healing workshop, and that will again be at the Live and Learn Center.
Mm-hmm.
The 21st, he's starting a new workshop. This is a totally new thing called Chrysalis, and I'll let him talk about that in just 1 second. I want to give out the number for Heidi Ho, which is 818-761-0945.
And there they can get all of the details.
The whole rundown on the entire tour.
Yeah, once again, it's always better to repeat it. 818-761-0945. All your people out there must have a pad and a pen waiting for all this. Because you do give a tremendous amount of information.
Well, I have the finest audience in radio.
No doubt about it.
I really think so. And we'll give you those numbers a little bit later. But if you call at the 818 number, 769-0945, they can give you more details than we have time to go into here, because of some of your lectures, I notice there's some cost involved in some of your intensives and things, and so you can get all of that, those facts from Dee.
From Dee.
Who'll be answering the phone up there. tonight. All right, are we ready to go to Georgia? Georgia. What's on your mind, huh?
Hi. Well, I want you to know we're not only filling up two pieces of paper, but we're taping the show. We love your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank
it's
you,
marvelous. We look forward to Saturday night so we can hear you.
So, well, I look forward to being with you.
Wonderful. I'd like to ask Dale a number of things. Number one, what about diamonds? And in particular, our interest is we want some relief for lung cancer, and we were wondering what color crystal would be best for that, and what would he recommend?
Okay, I'll answer your questions. Let's take one at a time.
Thank you.
When I have a whole lineup of things into my mind is running in about 12 tracks.
I know.
Well, one at a time, diamonds. We found that diamonds really do not respond to the human energy field very well because they're a very high-frequency vibration.
Uh-huh.
And they do work very well when you're moving up into very high high-frequency thought levels. So if you intend to do tight-band telepathy, they're excellent. We always joke about it and say they're great for intergalactic communication, but not too great for helping pain. But if you connect a diamond with a quartz crystal, it becomes something else again, because the quartz then becomes the vehicle through which you can make changes in your what we call the crown chakra or the upper mind spiritual levels. But that's a very advanced type of thing.
Yes.
That you can get into. Now, your next question is having to do with a stone for cancer. I do not prescribe
I realize
anything.
That.
We have had some definite responses to in special controlled conditions, using doctor's permissions, of course, with cancer patients of all types.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a specific energy balancing technique for cancer in the healing workshop, which has had some very good response. And we don't have any definitive research to prove anything on this. It's just that our indications are that we definitely could make a change, beneficial change. The other thing is, I would never give that out over the radio because it's not that simple a thing. There's no quick fix. But there is a particular therapeutic energy balancing process that we have found to be most beneficial, which will and can and will be taught in the workshop.
Okay. And how do we get there?
At the Live and Learn Center.
Uh-huh.
And the address, Ho?
13735
uh-huh.
Ventura Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And that's from 11 in the morning till 10 at night, with the lectures at 2 and 7:30.
Now, the workshops, everything is that we're doing, for some reason, just happens to hit at the Live and Learn Center. That makes it very convenient, because whatever we're doing, you have one address, you don't have to worry about it. Usually, I'm doing a workshop in maybe five different places. It's very convenient to do it in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
And right directly after the Whole Life Expo will be the weekend of the Healing Workshop, the 15th and 16th. That will be at the Live and Learn Center, and it's from 10 to 6 both days.
We're looking forward to that.
Further information about that, and I'll talk a little bit about the other Crystal Transformation Workshop, simply because this is a really dramatic process of personal transformation, moving away from healing and moving into making your life worthwhile in a powerful way. We'll get into that a little bit later, but if you want information about the workshop and anything that has to do with that, give a call at the number we gave you, 818-761-0945.
And Georgia, I would like to suggest that anybody out there that's listening that's interested in these workshops, that they call up and pre-register now, because between this show, well, next week we have the Whole Life Expo. We're going to have so many people, we're
right.
just not going to have enough room for everybody.
Thank
and
you.
And I'd like to see Bill's listeners get ahead of everyone else.
Absolutely.
So please call up, pre-register.
So would I.
We surely will.
You
Thank
guys
you.
Jump in. All right,
May
Georgia.
I ask one more question?
Make it quick.
Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you. Concerning the alexandrite, the purple stone which turns blue under certain light.
And red under the other
yes.
lights.
Yes, does
green
this have
other
particular qualities which are
Yes,
useful?
It definitely does. The alexandrite is very powerful. It operates and affects the upper crown chakra, what we call the ultra chakra levels, which are the fire colors, the pulsing colors when you go into meditation. And the alexandrite is the transformational, the alchemical stone. that transforms different levels of consciousness within the crown chakra. Now, probably one person out of 2,000 or 10,000 will know what I'm talking about. But nevertheless, that's the answer for it.
Okay.
Well, I think a lot of our people here know what a crown chakra is. All right, Georgia, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
And Linda.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your program. It couldn't have happened at a better time.
All right.
I went shopping today to buy a crystal to wear around my neck. And I found myself drawn to an amber crystal.
Yes.
And I'd like you to tell me about that. And also, my birthstone is topaz since I'm a Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that has any correlation, and would it be better because of that?
Well, the last time I was drawn to an amber crystal, it turned out to be a Michelob beer.
But
I was just kidding.
But it looks so neat as a pendant around your neck.
Yes.
Let's start with amber. Now, if you're talking about the fossilized resin, Baltic or Mediterranean amber, that's not a crystal.
Okay.
That's a fossilized resin from trees, basically, millions of years old, and that definitely has an energizing effect, but it works more specifically on the electrical energy field. It does not work as much on any of the other fields as other stones do. However, if you had an amber stone, such as a amber-colored stone, such as a citrine, it is a quartz and does work specifically on the emotional energy field for the lower three chakras, having to do with more of the physical body or the animal body, if you will, the unconscious functions of the body. It also works to works very well for colds. A citrine stone works very good for getting rid of colds. My my partner Lori loves them. She recommends all the time. And also they're very good when they are in earth tone, such as the yellows, orange, and browns. They're very good for keeping you in the physical body, the process we call grounding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the topaz. Topaz is a beryl silicate. It's a member of the beryl family. It is a cousin to the quartz. All the body energizing stones are members of the silicate family. That's what we found out, because the human body has more silicate in it than it has of any other mineral. So we found that the topaz definitely has a healing, balancing, energizing effect. We use them occasionally, but we find that that the colors can usually be duplicated with a citrine, and they're cheaper than a topaz. But if you have a topaz, it's an excellent stone.
Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't buy the amber because something about it I wasn't sure, and
mm-hmm.
I was going to go back tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So you helped me with that. I do.
Well, if you would be interested, come over to the Live and Learn Center.
I will because I am.
We have a tremendous selection of things, which I think you'll find whatever you want.
Okay, and then one more short question.
Sure, dear.
When you're going to be wearing the quartz, you know, the quartz crystal.
Yes.
Is it best to wear it against your skin, or does it matter if you wear it on top of your clothing?
It doesn't truly matter, except that the closer you are to your skin, there is an increase in the energizing effect. However, the human energy system can only absorb so much energy. What it can't absorb and use, it throws off or radiates out. So if you have a stone, you can wear it on the outside so people can see how beautiful it is. And at the same time, it will cause an energizing effect equal to as much energy as your body can absorb until you go through my workshop.
Okay.
By the way, he's wearing his outside of his
yes.
His shirt.
Okay,
there.
Well, I'm looking
I'm a show-off, though.
I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, then.
Oh, a pleasure for me, dear. Thank
you
for calling.
Thank you.
Linda, nice to have you aboard.
Thank you, Bill, for your show.
All right, thank
Bye-bye.
You for being a part of it. And we have Cliff here. Hello, Cliff.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm a student, and I'm a major in math and physics, and I am skeptical of, people on your show and all that, but my wife listens to your show all the time.
Is she skeptical?
I listen to it because
of that. I bet she's more of a believer than you are.
And what I'm going to say is the thing about the crystals, I tried it with the water.
Uh-huh.
And I did taste the difference.
Kind of chokes in your throat, doesn't it, there?
Well, I can't explain it, but I thought your listeners might appreciate the fact that a real skeptic would call up and,
I truly appreciate you calling and saying that. And I really enjoy an honest skeptic. You know, I'm an honest skeptic. When I say an honest skeptic to me is not somebody who either believes or disbelieves. They say, I'm willing to be shown. I don't believe, I don't disbelieve, show me. I'm from Missouri, I'm a mule, show me.
Well, we believe in that, gotta have that.
And we can show. As a matter of fact, we'll be doing a lot of very interesting demonstrations for on a whole range of things at the lectures at the Live and Learn Center. So people, people out there are skeptics. I'm not asking you to believe a thing I say. You come and I'll show you. That's bottom line.
And one more thing. Bill, I got to tell you, the week when you were on vacation, you had Thomas Bearden on.
Yes.
And he talked about the weather and the changing of the jet stream. Not much was mentioned. Regarding the space shuttle, not that it really has anything to do with the actual effect of what happened to the space shuttle, but they did mention something about the jet stream. Did you hear that?
Yes, the jet streams were radically altered over the course of the last 3 weeks.
I just wondered if you heard that.
Oh, certainly. We've been watching that very, very closely. I thought the rebroadcast of that program was enormously
that was pretty,
timely.
Mm-hmm.
Recall also that the night before, it was 27 below the chill factor in Atlanta, Georgia, and 42 below in southern Georgia and northern Florida. That was the chill factor reading, and they have never had temperatures like that down there. But if you recall last week's show, if you read the article in Let's Talk magazine, we have a very good idea how that's being done. And trying to associate that with what happened with the Challenger, that just can't be done, although I can tell you that a great deal of extremely extensive research is being done on that by NASA.
Yeah, I just thought it would be interesting. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, listen, Cliff, thank you for being skeptic and coming in and telling us that you tasted the difference.
Okay.
I appreciate that from you very, very much.
Okay.
I'm Bill Jenkins. We're with Dale Walker and Ho tonight on Crystal. So if we can... Frank gave us a number. Now we've lost it. All right? Oh, we've got him. Frank, you're there.
Yes, good evening.
How are you, Dr. Baranowski, sir?
As normal. Very terrific. All interested right. in your program.
Thank
good
you.
Good evening.
Say hello to Dale Walker and Ho.
I think your guests are great. They're explaining it from the eyes of a layman exactly the way they can say it, and I like his honesty. He says, I don't know what's happening, where it's coming from, but it is, and don't question it. It just does. Reminds me of the thing that somebody once asked Edison, what is electricity? He says, I don't know. It just is. Use it.
There it is. Go.
The same thing, I not only believe that, and I show people and give them ways that they can do something beneficial. But at the same time, you have to know, too, that there's this thing in the back of my head that says, hey, I still want to know. And so I do a lot of different experiments to constantly expand my map of this whole process. And I'm beginning to know some things now.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt because I want to listen, too. I'm finding this more interesting. Bill, the reason I called, last week they had what they call the ARE Medical Symposium in Scottsdale.
Yes, it's the Association for Research and Enlightenment.
They had about 850. It was very well attended. And I met a gentleman there from this area named Marcel Vogel.
Oh, yes, Marcel.
And he demonstrated an ability with this crystal. Now, because I see auras, and I didn't know myself before then, and he didn't know I could see auras, they asked me to sort of sit off to one side so I could get a picture of, a close-up of him, his aura, and when he brings up somebody up onto the platform, and he holds a crystal in his hand, and then he begins to concentrate on this thing while he's talking, and some rather strange things happen. He would hold his hand behind the, and above the head of the person. In one of these cases, a lady was losing the sight in her left eye. And this crystal that he's holding is it's a big chunk, I would say, perhaps maybe 6, 7, 8 inches long and maybe 2.5, 3 inches in diameter. And he would rotate this thing in a circular motion around the eye, and you could see the skin of the eye actually moving. The eye was closed as if there was a force, and you could see the force, coming out of the crystal like a light beam.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds so asinine, but that's exactly what was happening. And her energy suddenly blossomed so that there was a tremendous amount of energy leaking just that's the word to use it, from the back of her head into his hand, which he held maybe about 3 feet behind and above her, as I said. I've never seen that demonstration before.
Well, now, Marcel has been doing that demonstration here for the last year or so, and it is mind-bending what he does.
The interesting thing is, Bill, when Marcel didn't have the crystal in his hand, he's like everybody else. I mean, there's no significant change in his aura, his that which I could see, and this is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm a little tired, and I'm sure he was a little tired. So the aura that I could see extending from him wasn't more than perhaps 36 to 40 inches around him. But the minute he began to... Well, no, not even the minute when he grabbed the crystal, it didn't change. It was when he started thinking about what he's doing to this thing, and he does his yoga breathing.
Mm-hmm.
He clears these channels. Now, that increased it tremendously. And when I say tremendously, I'm talking about he was overlapping people in the first 8 and 9 rows that were sitting around, and he must have had, I would venture to say, 300 to 500 people at this auditorium that he was talking to. It was standing room only. So this crystal and the thought behind it
created a tremendous change in
the energy. Yes, it must enhance the energy.
Well, this is something that we have definitely experimented with and shown to be true. Use of pranayama breathing has been known for an awful long time. It's a yogic technique of breathing in a very powerful way to concentrate breath and focus the energy that's available by your breath. And then using the crystal as the amplifier to take that focused energy and send it where you want to go. It's a method, actually, of creating and building a thought form and causing a change to take place in the energy field of the individual. Because Marcel, as all of us do, this Marcel's not the only one who does this. Marcel does it very well.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
And
I'm sure you may have the same ability.
He's a remarkable individual in doing this. The ability to focus the mind is where his skill is. And the crystal is the power tool that not only amplifies thought and emotional energy, but allows that thought and emotional energy to be focused in a very precise manner. And this particular ability, in our experiments, we have found that we can place somebody in another room altogether and create a dramatic change in their energy field. Not only just slightly, but to increase their energy field so that they emanate an energy field which may be as much as 25 to 30 feet. And we found that we can cause very rapid changes in the auric field and in all of the levels of energy field. And we have several clairvoyant people who constantly monitor what we're doing and find that when an individual has trained their mind, when they have a process which specifically enables them to know what they're doing and to focus a thought, it's absolutely phenomenal the changes that can take place. And this is not just with people, but with animals, with plants, and with actual trees. We work with trees to make dramatic changes as well.
You know, I think it's interesting about Marcel in that here is a scientist that for 30 years is one of the leading scientist for the IBM Corporation, actually, up in San Jose.
Senior chemist for IBM.
Senior chemist. One of the finest gemologists in the world. He certainly knows metal alloys better than anyone probably at all. And his research there...
He's a metallurgist and crystallographer who has basic patents in luminescence and working with...
And he's gotten totally and completely into this field. That's how strongly he feels about it, and this is one of the keenest minds
in
the world.
Have you had Dr. William Tiller on your program from Stanford?
Bill Tiller?
Yes.
No, I haven't had him on, but...
Bill is head of the Material Science Division and has been studying with a grant by the U.S. government crystals and their ability to project energy. And we talked about this, he and I did, because one of Tiller's presentations was, again, talking about these types of energies.
Yes, I know Bill Tiller.
He is a very scientific man.
Yes, he is.
One of the things about Tiller is that he can talk for 40 minutes, and it comes out so easy. The trouble is, you got lost in the first 5. I mean, it's so scientific. But Tiller says, there's just not enough out on this. There's not enough data that we can't say, no, it doesn't work. Yes, it does work, because we have no composite as to why it works. There's no hypothesis.
Yes.
Like in science.
Oh, some are being developed.
Let me tell you something now. The one thing that I have had a long-going objection to the antagonism by the scientific world about crystals, and I've been doing this for 11 years, is they tell me that I can't go around saying crystals do thus and so if I haven't taken them in a laboratory and proven it. And that's utter nonsense. A true scientist is not one who demands that you fit phenomena in their test tube. A true scientist is one who examines phenomena, does their darndest to recreate phenomena, and then comes up with a theory to govern it. And this is one of the major things that I have found. I have issued a challenge. I've issued it for 11 years now to any organization, university, medical group, scientific group who has the equipment and is willing to fund the effort to do this, to prove what I'm talking about. I know exactly how to do it. I know exactly the type of scientific equipment needed. I know exactly the kind of tests that need to be done. And I put this challenge out every time, and you know something? Nobody wants to take me up on it. And at the same time, I tell them, you come to one of my lectures, and you bring anybody you want who has a physical ache or pain, I'll show them, not me, how to take that pain away. You tell me why that phenomenon occurs.
Well, that's it. You said something about healing in the beginning. I was picking up on this radio here in the motel room. We don't know what goes on in healing. You can go to see your physician, and he'll give you 3 pills and tell them to take them 8 hours apart, and by tomorrow you'll feel better. What happens to a guy in Africa when he goes to see the local witch doctor who takes 3 piles of sand, throws them in the air, and says, by tomorrow you'll feel better? If there's a cure in both cases, why?
Well, we don't know. Frank, do you want to stay on the line?
I want to listen. I can't listen and talk.
Well,
it's a super program, as usual.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank you for calling, Frank Baranowski.
Good night, my friend.
We're going to take a break for the news, and we'll be right back.
Okay. I'm Bill Mintz from Dr. Baranowski. We're going to have to get Frank back on and get into past life regression and going into past. We haven't done that in a while. So I'll have to find Frank's number, run him down, and get him back on, because he's probably one of the best in the world on that. We have James on the line. Hello, James. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Bill. It's good to talk to you again. I don't know if you remember me. I talked to you over a month ago about the neurophone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to bring that up also in connection with the quartz.
Mm-hmm.
What's the question?
Well, I have the new ThinkMan stereo model, and you're able with this to hook up 12 people to it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think from a lot of my reading I've done that you can get everybody on the same wavelength with this type of thing.
It's possible. One particular wavelength, yes.
Yes. Like, there's a particular tape they also sell that has certain types of sounds, and I think it would get the brain waves all in the same frequency.
Yeah.
The alpha type.
What's the question?
Well, if they're all on the same frequency, and they could be using something similar to, you're familiar with the quartz crystal skull.
As a matter of fact, I just came back from Canada where we did a research on that.
Uh-huh.
Now, you want to see the phone lines light up now?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd really...
Tell us about the quartz crystal skull.
What is your question?
Well, I've always been interested. What really got me into this whole field of open mind type phenomena years ago, over 7 years ago, was my interest in anti-gravity. And I would like to see some more research in this area. And I think the crystals, especially if everybody could be, amplify the thought power, that this would be the thing to move into, similar to the, instead of just using thought power for directional control, as in that fanciful movie with Clint Eastwood, the Firefox,
mm-hmm.
you know, but actually have the power being manufactured by a linked humanity.
Well, now we're talking about something altogether different. We're talking about group thought forms or group energy, synergic mind energy. And I have a certain amount of experience in this particular field because I was involved for 2.5 years with a group of 6 people that did, in fact, merge their minds where they would be able to get the same phenomena. They were able to see the same thing, feel, smell, taste, and, in other words, tune themselves the same frequency without the aid of any mechanical devices, all with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And we use it for the specific purpose of tuning in, channeling in information from a group identified themselves as the members of the hierarchy who were assisting us to bring information in. And whether that's true or not, it's immaterial. But we use it for a specific purpose. We have also created group mind energies for doing absent healing. And every workshop I do, we do just this. We teach people exactly how to go together, combine their minds using the crystals, and the power that's created is so phenomenal that it leaves a column of energy in a spot in the room where we have a large crystal. After we take the crystal away, it leaves that energy field in there so strong that it can be felt for hours afterwards, even by somebody who is not sensitive. It's like a column of hot air right in one spot in the room. And we've had dramatic changes take place from a distance for people to use this. But we are quite familiar. And one of my dreams, and let me share this with you.
Okay.
One of my dreams, I don't think it's a dream, one of my intentions.
That's a better word.
Yes, one of my intentions, it has been since I first started doing this, is one day soon, and it's not going to be that long, as the mind expansion, the crystal awareness, the crystal consciousness expands in the continent and in the planet. One day soon, millions of crystal people will focus their minds in the same level, the same energy band, the same frequency, and the same thought will be broadcast throughout the world. Let there be peace. And nothing is going to stop that.
I agree.
Thank you for calling.
And that's one way that can happen.
I also wanted to bring up another thing. The woman who called earlier and discussed about the book where the book goes into a lot about the power rods.
Yes.
I have the same book.
Yes.
And I've read it, and yes, there is quite a bit about combat in there. You know,
There's some real good stuff in it.
There is.
As well.
I've assembled one myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I've done it with the leather colored blue. It's supposed to be healing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had an interesting thing happen. My throat was, you know, badly affected. Did that my throat. The pain just went away instantly. And then
you were using blue.
Yes.
Well, blue has always been known to be beneficial to the throat chakra, which is the area between the hollow of the throat and the top or the end of your nose. And anything having to do with those areas would be benefited by the color blue. So I'm not surprised at all. I didn't say the wands didn't work. As a matter of fact, I said they do.
Mm-hmm.
But his information and his techniques are accurate. I just said that I personally found it a little bit upsetting, the approach that much of the book took, that of combat, which is this is quite a tradition among some groups. It just happens to be not what I particularly care to be into.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that was asked is, what did I think about the book? I had to be honest. And my honest opinion was, I think it's an accurate book in most respects. And in some respects, it frightened me.
Okay, James, that help you?
Well, yeah. The main area that I was concerned with the power rods was the, you know, similar to the Star Wars movie, the idea of a lightsaber that the Jedi Knight had.
Okay.
And that this is not only a tool of combat, but it could be used as a tool to, you know, to build a pyramid, so to speak, to as a great cutting tool.
Yes. It could be used for good. We do have ways of doing that. And at the same time, that's really not what we're talking about. What we're talking about was that particular way that these were presented had a tendency to attract to it people who would like to use it that way.
Yes, I understand.
And so that's the only thing that bothered me. Thank you for calling.
On the pyramid, the capstone, do you feel that the capstone of the Great Pyramid was a quartz?
Have no way of knowing. Our statements made internally when we did our channeling was that, yes, that's true, and we have absolutely no way of knowing that.
So it's all supposition?
All supposition.
Well, do you feel that the outer casing stones, which were, I have heard that they were marble, do you know?
No, they weren't. They were chalcedony, which is a member of the quartz family.
Used as a
resonator so that they could be used as a communicating device.
So then it was microcrystalline quartz?
Yes.
I see. Was there any metal found on the outside of that?
I know nothing about that.
Oh, okay. Well, I do thank you a great deal.
Okay, James. Thank you for getting in there.
Okay.
I'm Bill Jenkins with Dale Walker and Ho. We're talking about crystals. Dale Walker, who probably is one of the nation's leading experts on its many, many crystalline values. And Ho is here, who's with us all the time. Idaho Enterprises out in North Hollywood. By the way, if you want to find out where Dale is going to be, give them a call. I think they're standing by at 818, the area code 7610945. Dale has quite an itinerary here in Los Angeles this month.
People should really know, too, that we only have a single line down there, although it has a call waiting effect on it. So if for some reason, because we're going to get hundreds of calls, you don't get in immediately, please call back again. There's going to be somebody there all night long for practical purposes who will answer your questions.
Or even better, come tomorrow at the Live and Learn Center and we can show you everything that's going on and give you all the information.
Yeah, that's it. That's 13735 Ventura Boulevard down around Woodman and Ventura.
That's
Live
right.
And Learn. 10 o'clock in the morning on. Dale is there. And bukus of crystals.
Oh, boy, do we have crystals.
All kinds of crystals. Okay, Eric. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to you. I think I should mention that this is sort of full circle for me to be calling tonight because, several months ago, I heard Serge King from the Hoone Institute on your program, and he was there as a replacement for someone who was to come and talk about crystals and wasn't able to come. And I am now just finishing up the advanced shamanism class with Serge, and it's just been wonderful.
All right. Yeah, Serge is quite a fellow.
Yes. So I'm very grateful to your program for turning me on to something that really has been quite a marvelous experience.
Right.
Lovely man.
Yes, isn't he, though? I wanted to ask, what is Heidi Ho?
We've all wondered about that, right?
Oh, my.
Well, Heidi Ho Enterprises was set up by myself and by Dee Dee Holman, who is the lady that's answering the phones right now. And we were set up to teach classes in metaphysics and parapsychology. We taught classes in UFOs and in crystals. Ironically enough, I was teaching all those other classes except for crystals when I met Dale. And I'd always been interested. I'd very often gone into places, picked up the stones and looked at them. But I couldn't find information on what to do with them. That was really the hard part. And I'd pick up different books, and one book would say that this stone was good for healing and the next stone was good for spirituality, but they wouldn't tell you what to do with them. Then I ran into Dale, and I took his workshop, and I have to mention this for those who have got the book, that the workshops that Dale teaches, it's not the material in the books. The book is something quite different. The material he teaches is above and beyond what's in the book. And I had an opportunity to take the workshop with him. The next day, Dee Dee was in a car accident. And we took her to
very serious.
We took her to the hospital. They wanted to put her in traction for 6 weeks. We took her to a chiropractor who did various exams and took x-rays. And that night, she was in bed. And I looked at her and I said, you know, we just did this workshop yesterday. We have these techniques and they are very simple. So we tried them. And sure enough, I can't say she was 100% better the next day, but she was 100% improved from where she had been. The chiropractor had done the exam so he could show that. And Dee Dee never missed a day from work, although I know she would have loved to. She was never out of work for a single day. So that, to me, was a very powerful indication of how good these techniques are.
And what was more interesting is the chiropractor came to the workshop.
That's right. He took the workshop with us.
But, Mr. Walker, do you have a book or books out on the subject, then?
Yes, there's a book out called The Crystal Book, which is an excellent beginning book on crystals. And actually, I was chastised because it said some of the techniques in there are too advanced. And I thought, gee, I made it as simple as you can make it.
You know, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
I didn't understand a thing.
That must be too... Wait, watch that. No, it's a very good book. It's called The Crystal Book. It's available in most metaphysical bookstores. And we definitely will have copies at the Live and Learn Center. And...
we have them over at Alexandra, too.
Yes. Yes, Alexandra Bookstore has it. And at the same time, I have a meditation tape out, which is brand new, meditation techniques from the Crystal Book. It's called the Crystal Book Meditations.
I got a copy of it.
Yes, that's you have El Primero, first one.
Yeah.
Also, I am in the middle right now of my second book, which will be much more expansive and going into the further research levels of what we've been doing. And that will be out probably by June. In fact, it definitely will be out and ready for the American Book Association convention in June. So that's my deadline. I have to meet that. And there, I have material enough right now to write probably 5 or 6 more books. I have material enough which I will present out both in teaching tapes and meditation tapes, for we expect to have about 50 voice tapes. I also have 7 days of advanced crystal techniques on video, which we are editing, and hopefully we'll have that available, because this information has to get out now, and I'm busting my tail to get it. So yes, the answer is there is more coming out. I do have a book and a meditation tape out right now, which is available, and more is coming.
And
I can't stop this thing now.
And before we go off the air, Eric, Dale has promised that he will speak toward the tail end of the show about the crystal skull, which he has been studying.
Okay. Now, I have one other question that I would like to ask from a personal standpoint, and that is, I am very much interested at this point in making mandalas.
Eric, let me do this. That's too intricate a question. I know what you're going to ask. At least I can pick up already. Come to the Live and Learn Center. Talk to me there, and I'll give you some things on mandalas that will shake your roots.
You may not want to, Eric.
Okay.
Well, why wouldn't I?
If you really want to know some things, and I can also tell you some of the powerful things we're doing. We're using crystal mandalas, by the way, to totally clear swimming pools and create an energy sink, a bath energy pool that should be tremendously healing based on what we've done already. And as a matter of fact, for those of you who saw the movie Cocoon, this is the kind of thing we're talking about. I believe, quite frankly, we can do what that movie portrayed to some of the degree. And definitely we can clear swimming pools forever, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, probably. I love those words. But at any rate, if you want to talk about mandalas, come down to the Living Room Center. I will talk to you.
And Eric, make a point of introducing yourself to us, because I'd like to talk to you also.
Okay.
We know Serge very well. And
oh, yeah? Okay.
Heidi Ho has presented him on a number of occasions. He's a marvelous man.
Serge's radio program.
That's right. You're... I don't have the calendar in front of me, but you are going to be on Serge's radio show.
Ah, yes. And what city was that again? Ventura Boulevard.
It's in Ventura in Sherman Oaks.
In Sherman Oaks.
Yes.
That's right.
It's, I think the cross street.
13735.
Closest cross street is probably Woodman.
Okay. And that's going to be tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday.
Yes, 3 days.
Monday,
from 10
Tuesday.
Till 10 both days.
10 to 10?
All 3 days. Yeah.
10 to 10.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Let me say one more thing. Real quick. Thank you very much. You can drop off on this one, but I want to say to the rest of the audience, actually, tomorrow we're beginning at 11 o'clock, and now 10 o'clock, and yet each of the other days will be there at 10. So if you want to come tomorrow and meet me, be with the group, come at 11 o'clock, because we need a little bit of time, tell you the truth, to get all this stuff set up. I'm so honest, it's, you know...
And as long as we're going to be that
honest... There's no great mystical thing about it. It's just we need some time, so
plus
come at 11, don't come at 10.
Plus fact, I'm keeping you up late tonight.
Bob, you
don't tell Dee Dee that, because we're supposed to be setting those crystals up in the morning. Yes, if you call the house and get the number, which was 818-761-0945, and there's no answer, there is a machine... Leave a name and a number, please, because we're going to be very busy, but we will get back to everyone.
We absolutely guarantee we will contact everybody who leaves a message.
All right. There you've got that message, and we're going to get a message now from Jerry.
Concerning the strength of the crystals, I was at a gym store the other day, and they had some of the, you know, perfectly crystal clear quartz crystals that were cut in the shape of the Great Pyramid. And I was wondering if the shape... was important to the effectiveness of it, or if I was just as well off to go out and have one, pick it up off the ground in its natural shape, or if I should take it out and have it cut, you know, in that particular shape, and also if the clarity or the size had any difference on the effectiveness of it.
Changing the shape of the crystal does not affect the amount of energy that's in the crystal, with the exception of the pyramid shape. The pyramid shape has its own amplifying ability. The cutting in a pyramid does create an increase in the energy field a little bit more than the natural crystal does. Not a dramatically large amount, but definitely is an increase. Clarity does not really matter. Now, I'm going to get some flack from those who really think a clear crystal is the greatest thing in the world. But my experience is clarity matters only if you're really going to work in telepathy. But I like a crystal with things in it because that those things in it, inclusions, veils, and windows and doorways, are doorways for information for me, knowledge. And the cloudiness in a crystal is water.
Hmm.
And that, by the way, if you have a cloudy crystal and you begin to use it using the healing techniques which we teach, the one thing that happens with everybody is the cloudiness starts to clear up. We've cleared big crystals. I've got one that's 10 inches or better that was cloudy all the way up to, almost to the tip. Now that thing is clear all the way down to the bottom.
So you think having impurities to some extent would actually increase the power of it?
The most important rule is not whether it's clear or cloudy, but that you have an affinity for it.
I see.
If you like the crystal, that means its vibration is most attuned to you, and then it will be most powerful for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the same crystal would not be as effective for somebody else.
I see. I had one other quick question. I'd heard some talk around different people that were into this that after a while, that crystals, especially if they're really good, will absorb so much negative energy in doing things that they will actually be a detriment to the person that has it, and they some way have to purge that out, and or the crystal will actually just kind of wear out that needs to be redone or re-energized. And I was curious how you went about that and if that was true, that they actually get negative energy in them.
The answer to that is, my experience is, it is true. And earlier in the program, we gave the method on how you can totally clear that negative emotional energy out of it.
Mm-hmm, I heard that.
And that's called the light invocation. If you do that three times while touching the crystal, it totally clears it out. And we have experimented showing that this is true.
How do you know how often to do that?
I do it every day.
Oh, okay.
You know, if I do any kind of energy balancing technique on somebody, I'm involved and my crystals are involved.
Mm-hmm.
My crystals will absorb the release of any imbalanced emotional energy field or negative emotions from the person when they go into balance. They go into balance, their negative emotions have to get rid of.
I see.
And so it can go through my crystal. I simply hold it, do a triple light invocation, which only takes, I got it down so pat now, it takes me maybe 5 seconds, and it's gone.
You do have physical contact with it then when you're saying that.
Oh, yes.
I see. That's important. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Great show, Bill.
All right, Jerry. Thank you very much for checking in with us. Some people are calling wanting to know if there's a place where they can get crystals by mail. I don't even know how to answer that, really.
Well, the crystal company, definitely. We have a mail order service.
Do you?
That they can write to us, and we will send them information on crystals. We definitely can order them. If they want that one, we'll give them another. There, you got your pad out there and your pen. We'll give you something.
Yeah, give the address.
The Crystal Company, that's simple. Post Office Box 348. 348. Sunol, I have to spell this because it's a tiny little community in Northern California. Sun, S-U-N-O-L, Sunol, California, 94586. The Crystal Company, P.O. Box 348, Sunol, California, 94586. And we will send you information about mail order. But in the meantime, if you can get over to the Live and Learn Center, why bother?
Yeah, get over there and get them yourself.
Get them live, and you can pick them out personally. You don't have to wait for us to pick it for you.
Also, we can do that through Heidi Ho. If they
yes.
want to call us and get the information, we'll tell them how to go about getting it through the mail.
Absolutely.
All right.
But give us a little time, folks. It takes more than 2 or 3 days. We have people that will call and say, well, you send it through the mail, and 2 days later say, where's my crystal?
Where's
I need
crystal?
It now.
Also, thank you for calling.
Also, a lot of folks are calling this thing. They want to hear about the skull. We will talk about the skull in about 15 minutes, something
yeah.
like that. So hang in there if you want to hear about the crystal skull. It's Open Mind tonight with me, Dale Walker, and Ho. We're on to crystals. Does our good friend the crystal have any effect on gasoline?
Well, I want to tell you, I've experimented with this for a long time.
I thought you might.
And just recently, I bought a 69 Cadillac because I'm rebuilding it back into perfect condition again. I think it's a classic, and I really want to do this. And yet, Cadillacs are not what you call the most
economical car.
Economical, that's the word. That's what I was looking for. They burn gas. And I did a little experiment coming down from San Francisco area down to here, in which I tested, first of all, prior to that time, driving freeway, driving streets, driving, you know, normal driving thing. And I was getting a little over 12.1 miles per gallon.
That's
not
much.
Very good, no. And when I, driving on a straight way, coming here, after I put crystals on the line, in an even more effective method than what's in the book. In the book, I suggest you put one crystal on the fuel line going into the carburetor. In this particular case, we took three crystals and put them in a triangular array around the fuel line up next to the carburetor. We find that the closer we get to the carburetor, the more effective it is. And my mileage on the straightaway jumped to 16.7. And when I hit the grapevine, it dropped back down until the overall mileage coming right into L.A. was 14 point something. It's a jump of about 17-18% just for the fact that we put crystals on it. And it was a jump of far greater than that before we hit that long, long pull that it takes up so doggone much gas.
Oh, yeah, that'll soak up gas every time.
But it's really amazing. And what we did is, at this time, like I said, I came prepared. I've set up a thing in which I've got an instruction, a little instruction sheet, and crystal set up specifically for the gasoline for your car. If anybody interested, we've even got sets of those suckers this time, and people can try it out themselves. Everybody who's tried it has noted that there's an increase of anywhere from 10, and Ho was telling us that, what was it you said somebody...
Well, I had one man who actually got 50%, and he documented it. He showed me all the numbers and everything, but I think average is about 25-30.
About 25-30%.
See, with the crystals,
especially with this new thing.
Eat your heart out, Exxon. Charlotte,
don't challenge him. Don't
Charlotte called back to say that she tasted the water.
And?
There was a difference.
How about that?
So, all you water tasters out there would like to hear from me while we have, about 20, 25 minutes or so. Okay, let's see. Anne, what's on your mind tonight?
Yes. Dale, I have your book.
God,
and I want to state that I have had success with crystals regarding healing, distant healing, that is.
Yes.
I simply hold the crystal in my left hand and use visualization. I guess you call it thought process.
Yes.
Power.
Visualization.
And
yes.
I use that on the person and the area to be healed, and it works every time, even though that person is not aware that I'm doing it. Now, that's a statement, but what I'd like to ask is, sometimes the healing is not effective, and I've noticed that when the crystal gets warm, when it feels warm, the healing becomes effective at that time. But sometimes, which is very rare, the crystal does not get warm. It remains cold.
Yes.
And the healing does not take place.
Well, and if you simply hold that stone and do a triple light invocation and then do it again, you'll find that whatever it was blocking that and reversing the polarity of the stone so that it goes in the opposite direction will now be refocused.
Is that right?
That's correct. What happens when a stone turns hot is because energy is moving through the stone, and it causes frictional process that creates heat. When it reverses polarity, in other words, its flow goes in the opposite direction, then the crystal becomes cold. And there are processes in our healing workshop in which we show a particular cyclic process that takes place. And in the middle of that cycle, the crystal changes. One of the crystals turns cold. Everybody's noticed this phenomenon. And that's it's precisely because the crystal at that moment reverses its polarity and the energy moves in the other direction. But if you hold it and do a triple light invocation, you can refocus and go back into healing with it.
I will try that. There was another question I'd like
yes.
to ask. In your book, you mentioned charging and activating and clearing. I
yes.
don't do any of those things. But what I've done is, after each healing, I washed the crystal with soap and water.
Uh-huh.
And each time I use the healing, I do that before I do the healing. But is it necessary to do the charging and the activating and the clearing in order to be successful in the healing process?
When you do the healing, that's a charging process. Except when you do healing, you're charging. When you release, that is, you create the healing process moving, you release negative emotions from the body. And that's bad. That causes a weakening effect, and which is not good for the crystal to sustain, nor is it good for anybody who touches a crystal. However, if you'll do a clearing process, Now let's define some things. First of all, cleansing is the using a substance. We use salt.
Yes, I do that occasionally.
Now, that what that does is that reduces the amount of energy in the stone below the point where it can actually physically cause a problem to you. Clearing is leaving the energy in but changing it so that any imbalanced emotional energy or negative emotional energy becomes balanced or harmonized. And that we have found, we have many ways to do it, but the most effective way we have found is to use the triple light invocation. That is truly the most all-round, powering, and clearing, cleansing, light-building technique we have found in any case.
Don't know why, but it works.
So if I do the triple light invocation, then I won't have to do any of the other things. Is that what you're saying?
My experience is that's all I use anymore. I don't put anything in salt anymore.
Uh-huh.
Now the triple light invocation, we have done Boku tests. We have done massive tests to show that once you have a negative thought form in a stone, the triple light invocation totally clears that thought form out of it. So it becomes positive and is beneficial to your body, mind, and emotions.
Well, how does that negative thought form get into the crystal when I'm actually visualizing positive things?
Whenever you do the healing process, negative emotions are released. When you're touching or in the auric field of the individual, so is your crystal. That energy then moves directly through your crystal.
Oh.
And the crystals are so absorbent and sensitive to energy, they can store those negative emotions in it.
Uh-huh.
But it's so easy to do the invocation and clear.
Oh, I certainly will do that. Then, and is it necessary to wash it like I've done, you know, other times after the healing and before the healing?
I always do it because the body leaves oils.
Uh-huh.
And the oils will stay on the surface of it. The oils themselves become charged with negative emotions, just like the crystal does.
Sure.
And you notice when you do energy balancing or healing on someone, how your crystal becomes sticky or tacky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I find that it works better for me when I wash it off. Just a simple wash in plain water with a little soap. But even without soap, just rinsing it off seems to make a real change in it.
Oh, so I'm going to do the triple light invocation, and then that should be sufficient. Then.
Very good. Thank you for calling. Thank you so very much.
Okay, Ann. Thank you for being in there with us. And Lois, you're on.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a cold, so I hope my voice is coming across.
Get a crystal up next to your nose.
Mike, very good.
Don't stick it up your nose. Bill, I heard you say that.
I didn't.
Underneath your breath. Don't listen to him.
Well, I have a half of a geode. I wonder if a geode is a crystal.
The geode itself is not, but the crystal's inside.
The geode is a
hollow, like a little bowl.
Right.
And the inside of it has crystals.
Right.
Yes, that's beneficial.
I have one of those as a decor, you know.
Yes.
If it's sitting in the room like that, is it collecting negative things?
It causes a balancing effect on negative emotions in a room. You might notice how much nicer a room feels like when you have a geode or a cluster. We use clusters.
Uh-huh.
A geode is a cluster in a concave. Yes, it's concave, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's rounded. It is a concave cluster.
Like an ashtray.
Like an ashtray, a hollow
yes,
cup
I
or
know.
A bowl.
Yes, uh-huh.
Right?
It looks like an ugly rock until you break it in half.
No rock is truly ugly, dear.
Well,
but crystals are much prettier. And
outside.
It does cause a balancing, healing, energizing change in the room itself. And if you touch your stone and do the triple light invocation in it, what's the difference when people are in a room who come in feeling angry, tired, or upset, or fearful? What takes place? We put a lot of these in psychologists' waiting rooms and in healing rooms for many different healing people.
I'm going to do that from now on.
Thank you very much.
All right, Lois.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And take care of your little crystal. It's a good one. Kind of screening everything, and our production coordinator says that she's received 150,689,418 calls for repeating the invocation. Do you want to go over that again?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Please, we'll do it slow once again and repeat it. Write down the light invocation. It's called the light invocation. I invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide.
repeat it for you. I invoke the light of the Christ within. That's sentence number one. Sentence number two is, I am a clear and perfect channel. Sentence number three is, light is my guide. And I recommend when you do the light invocation that you repeat it three times. And you should do this out loud, first of all. Later, you can also do it in your mind without saying anything out loud after you've said it out loud.
All right, I hope everybody got that.
I hope so.
I do, too, because there are a lot of people wanting that, and it's a lot easier for us to do it here than for Terry to be repeating
it. Yes, but if you've got to do it, call Heidi O. Enterprises at that number, and we'll be happy to even tell you what the light invocation is if you can get through.
I was just looking at Terry.
I know Dee Dee has just said, I'm going to kill him when I get back. Dee Dee, that's not a nice thing to say, Dee Dee.
She has probably said the light invocation close to as many times at home.
Undoubtedly.
Well, I was just looking at Terry. She's really invoked in there after repeating it so many times.
She's glowing. She said it so many times.
All right. You're going to have to tell us about the crystal skull.
The crystal skull that I worked with, the research group, our research group, went to Canada, and the other members of the team were there for almost 3 weeks. I was there for 5 days because that's all I could afford to be away. I had too many other commitments. The Mitchell Hedges Clear Crystal Skull. This was found in 1924 in a Mayan temple archaeological dig by F.A. Mitchell Hedges. Actually, it was found by his daughter, Anna Mitchell Hedges, whose nickname, and everybody knows her, calls her Sammy. Sammy found it. She was only 10 years old, 1924, and she was half buried in a rubble pile. And she pointed it out to her father, in the due course of the archaeological digs in a systematic manner. They were able to uncover the skull. The upper part is two parts, the upper part of the skull and then the lower hinged jaw. Found the upper part. A month and a half later, they found the lower jaw. And the natives identified that as being a very highly religious artifact of their tribe. He gave it to the tribal members, the tribal elders, who kept it there for the next, I guess, about 5 years. At the end of the time of the 7-year dig, they had such respect for Dr. Mitchell Hedges, they gave him back that skull. Now, that's something, if you can imagine, the greatest religious artifact you have, to give that away. In due course, when he died, it's owned now by his daughter, Sammy, Anna Mitchell Hedges. And we were able to go and do some research work. Now, our research team is headed by Nick Nocerino, who is the foremost crystal master on the earth today. I'm firmly convinced he knows more than any 10 people of us know. But he's also done work on more than one crystal skull. One particular one he worked on for almost a year and has 12 4-inch...